that she starts the Ezer Shemizbach towards the bottom half of the Amid, of the Afkuv Dalad Amid Beis, with the words Boy Rabbi Yirmiya. It is in the Gemara corresponding to approximately the middle of the Hagoyas Avach. Throughout Kaddishim, throughout Karbanis, we are familiar with the concept of Lina. More than the restriction to Makoim is the restriction to Zman in Ugata Karbanis. Varaya. If somebody shechts the carbon with the intention to eat it after the prescribed Zman, he's chayv kars. Now that's if he does so intentionally, but even non-intentionally. Generally speaking, we know that Kaddishim becomes possible with Lina. There is a certain process, there is a certain tikkun that is accomplished with the shechita, with the zrika, and you have to eat the carbon right away. And if the kehanim or the person does not eat the carbon within the prescribed time, the carbon is no longer fit. It's possible. So we're familiar with Lina when it comes to basar, when the Torah says you have a certain amount of time to eat Kaddishim. What happens, however, with the Parim HaNisrafim and Se'irim HaNisrafim? These kabbanas, like the Parakoyim Mashiach, the Parahilim Dover, and so on. These kabbanas aren't intended to be eaten. Now, even the carbon oila, which is not eaten by humans, is, in a certain respect, eaten by the Mizbeach. It is put onto the Mizbeach. Parim HaNisrafim, Se'irim HaNisrafim does not have any shaykhs with any concept of achila. No achila for the kohanim, no achila for the bailim, no achila for the Mizbeach. The prescribed thing to do with Parim HaNisrafim and Se'irim HaNisrafim is to take it out chutz l'gimel nachnis and burn it. The Melech of Yirmiyah has the following shaila. Once again, we are on Daf Kuf Dalet Amid Beis, towards the lower half of the Amid Boyi Reb Yirmiyah, and again it corresponds to where the Hagar Sabach is on the side of the Gemara. Boyi Reb Yirmiyah, Lina Mahu Shetoyel B'Parim HaNisrafim U'B'Se'irim HaNisrafim. Is leaving it overnight, an effective soul for Parim HaNisrafim and Se'irim HaNisrafim? We say the Lashon Shetoyel over here, we mean, is it effective to passel the carbon? What is the B'yim Yishayla? Me, I mean, and do we say, Kimi Han Yalina, when is lean an effective soul? The basa. When it comes to eating basa, the barachila, where somebody eats it, even in regard to a carbon oil or in regard to the amarin, the mizbeach eats it. There's a concept of achila for the mizbeach. Avalhani, but these parim anisrafim and siyam anisrafim delav v'nei achila inu, there's no concept of achila at all. It seems to be a type of a carbon with a whole different process. The taking of this carbon, for whatever reason it may be, is sreifa, the burning of it, chutz l'gimel nachnas. Perhaps over here, I should say loy. There is no psul of lina. And Rashi points out the basis for this is that whenever the Torah tells us the carbon becomes pasul, if it's left overnight, it's usually in respect to some type of achila, either achila of the mizbeach or achila of adam. Aydum, or perhaps as a b'yemi yalashna. And a chanami, where we find the psul of lina in the Torah, it's in regard to achila, but maybe the psul of lina applies to any hagdish. Wherever the Torah gives you a procedure of what is to be done with the carbon after you shecht it, you must follow that procedure immediately. And if you wait until the morning, it's possible belina, regardless of what that procedure is, if it's eating or even burning. Zakat Gemara Amarava, Hamil Saviv Shaila, if lina is an effective psul for Parman Asraf, mi boyele li abaya, abaya asked the Shaila, ipishtanale miyaha, and he was parshited from the following. We mentioned previously that there is a chi of karas, the one that is mechashev, at the time that he shechts the carbon, if he thinks in his mind that he is going to eat this carbon after the prescribed zman, he wants to do so intentionally, he is chayv kars. Now, previously in Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, we saw machloikas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim of where to apply the concept of pigel. And the Gemara explained it there as follows. Both Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim Maimaid, that if somebody would shecht the parim anisrafim and siyam anisrafim with the intent to eat it after the prescribed zman, this would not be pickle, he would not be chayiv kars. Why? Because one is only chayiv kars. It is only considered pickle when he intends to eat something that is supposed to be eaten, but after the prescribed zman. These karbanas aren't supposed to be eaten, period. Menel, if he decides that he's going to eat it, the fact that he says he's going to eat it and eat it after the zman does not make the carbon pickle. Not only that, but the Gemara also tells us that let us say someone shechts the parim anisrafim, which is supposed to be burnt chutz l'gimel nachnas with the intention to burn it chutz l'gimel nachnas, but after the prescribed zman. It is also not pigel. Even though here he is mechashiv to do something which is the derech of the avoida after the zman, pigel is only if he is mechashiv to eat. It applies only to achila. There is a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Chacham in regard to the akravas emrim. Somebody is mechashiv to be makter the emrim after the prescribed zman, but akopanim. What's negated to us is the fact that the Gemara says there is no machlokes in regard to the Parim HaNisraf. The Gemara assumes that if Hakol Moedim, if I shecht Parim HaNisraf with the intent, with the machshav, to burn it after the prescribed Zman, if that means the carbon is not pigel, it must mean the Hechach, that indeed if somebody burns the carbon after the prescribed Zman, it's not possible. L'chay, it's tali zebezeh. Therefore, Abayis is as follows. Being that we learned, although there is some machlokes between the Chacham and Reb Shimon as to where to apply the Yisra of Pigel, the Shav and both are Maida. Sheim Chishav the Achilas Parim Ubisifasa. Somebody thinks that he's going to eat the Parim HaNisrafim or burn the Parim HaNisrafim after this man, Shaloya Saklum, it's not Pigel. My lab, Midam Achshava Le Pasla. If someone has a Machshava to burn the Parim HaNisrafim after this man, if that doesn't make it Pigel, it must mean that Lina Nami Le Pasla Bimitsis. Let's say somebody intended to burn it on time, and it was left overnight, L'chaya, that should not pasal it. There is no hechach to say that the concept of pigel, which refers to what his machshava was at the time of shechita, and the actual metzias of if or if not it was left overnight have anything to do with each other. It's possible that if somebody has the machshava to burn it after this man, it's not pigel, but the metzias is if it's left overnight, it still becomes possible. Zakti Gemara Tashma, and once again our shaila is lina an effective psul for the Parim HaNisrafim or Se'irim HaNisrafim, being that it is not intended for anyone, no human or the Mizbeach, to eat it. Tashma. Parim HaNisrafim or Se'irim HaNisrafim may alam behem, one is moil behegdish, if he uses them for his personal benefit, ishehogdishu, from the time that one is magdish behem. Dishchatu, once the Parim HaNisrafim and Se'irim HaNisrafim are geshachten, here we enter into another stage, hukshru li pasal betful yoyim ubimachus kippur. From this point on, should a tful yoyim, a person that is still awaiting Harav Shemesh, or a Mechusa Kippurim, a person still awaiting to bring his carbon for Kapara, like a Mitzayra or a Yaldis, should they touch it, it becomes Tamei, and it is the next item that we're looking for, Ubelina. And from this point on, it becomes Pasul if it's left overnight. My last suggests the Gemara, when we say over here Lina, we mean Lina's Basa. If the Basa that is supposed to be burnt is left overnight, it becomes Pasul. So we have an open eye that there is a Psul Lina, and for the Gemara Lina. When we say over here psul, we aren't referring to the basa that's supposed to be burnt. Rather, linas amrin, we're referring to the amrin that is supposed to go onto the mizbeach. That becomes possible if you leave it overnight. Mashenkin the basa, mihecha teisa. Frekti Gemara, but I will show you we're referring to linas basa, not linas amrin. We are midik tani seifa, being that we lit in the seifa. Kula in regard to all of this. Mayalan, then there is mila bebesedeshen, in the besedeshen, in the place that it's going to be burnt. Ad shiyotach basar, until the time that the bus is going to dissolve from the fire. Although this sefer that mentions basar is referring to mila natalina, but akupanim, it's the same braisa. So mida sefer basar, reishanami, where we're referring to a psulina basar l'chaya, that's also basar. So again, this should answer the shayla that there is a psulina for the basar. Frekti gemara midi area, what's the echach to say that? Sefer basar, reishanami. The sefer that talks about mila is talking about the basar. The Reish that talks about a Psulina is perhaps just talking about the Akhtar of the Amrin. But as far as the Basar is concerned, if that waits till the next day, it's not possible. Zakti Gemara Tashma, the Tani Levi, when do we burn the Parim HaNisrafim and the Sidim HaNisrafim at the intermediate point, not inside the Azara, and not Chutz L'Gemul Machmes? She'ivi ben Psul, when a Psul occurs, be it Siyasan, after it was taken out already. Once it leaves the Azara, I don't take it back into the Azara to burn. Now the Gemara wonders what kind of a psul could possibly happen after you take it out. My love, Zakta Gemara, it would be a standard psul, psulina. If it was taken out too late, if the next morning already came and we didn't burn this carbon yet, it's possible. Zakta Gemara loinei, why do you have to say psulina? There are other psulim that could happen. Psul toma, what happens if the carbon becomes tummy after you take it out, or psul yitzia, explains Rashi. What happens if the carbon by mistake left the azara before the zvikas adat? These are valid psulim. This could be what Levi means, and not necessarily is he referring to psulina, because perhaps there is no psulina for the basa. Now the Gemara goes on to a different shaila. One of the standard psulim for Kachi Kadoshim is the psul of Yaitse. If it leaves the Mechitzas or Azar, it becomes pas. Now the Parim HaNisrafim and Siyum HaNisrafim have to go out of the Mechitzas or Azar. There is a chayiv to take them out, Chutz L'Gimel Machmes, and to burn them. We'll see later on how the psukim teach us that. What would happen, however, if the Parim HaNisrafim leave the Mechitzas or Azara before the time that they're supposed to go out? Would they become pasul? is a psul yitzias shayach only to something like kachay kadoshim, which has been yitzias restricted to the mechitzas hazar. But parim and asrachim that are supposed to go out simply don't become possible, even if you take them out before the time. Or do we say that there is a psul yitzias? If you took them out too early, it becomes possible the same way kachay kadoshim always becomes possible if they leave the mechitzas hazar. Let us see the Gemara Shaila inside. Boy the beloved. Yitzia mahu shetoyu b'parim and asrafim u'se'idim and asrafim. Is yitzia an effective so for parim and asrafim and se'idim and asrafim? Ma'akim abayli, what is the Gemara Shaila? A similar Shaila to this is found in regard to the status of kachay kalim. Now kachay kalim also can be eaten throughout the entire city. It doesn't have to be eaten dafke in the mechitzas hazar. So do kachay kalim become possible if you take them out before the Zedikas Adam? There is one Mandiyama that says yes. Kadashay Kalam indeed can be eaten throughout the entire city, but that's after the Zedikas Adam. If you take them out before Zedikas Adam, it becomes possible the same way Kadashay Kadashim do. Therefore, Amar Abiyemiya Ba'ab. Kikim Abayali, when does the Lazar ask a Shaila, Aliba the Mandamar, according to the Mandiyama that says in regard to Kadashay Kalam, Adayin Lehagiyaz Mani Lotzis. The same way you have Kadashay Kalam. If they go out before Zerika Saddam, it becomes possible, even though Kacha Kalam can be eaten throughout the entire city because they were taken out prematurely, should the same apply to Parim and Asrafim? If you take them out before Zerika Saddam, what is the halach? Now, why should Parim and Asrafim be any different? So the Gemara explains. Me, Amina, do we say, Hani Mili Basa? Fine. Kacha Kalam, even Kacha Kalam, I understand why if you take them out before Zerika Saddam, it should become possible. The Ein Soifei Lotes Choyva. The fact is, there never is an obligation to take out Kachay Kalam. The Torah allows you to take out the Kachay Kalam. So if you do it before the Torah gave permission, it becomes possible. That I understand. Aval Hani, but the Parim and Asrafim and the Sinim and Asrafim are really different. The Seif and Lotzei is Chayva. Here isn't just the Shaila of you're permitted to take it out. The end is you're going to be Mechuyif to take this out. There is an obligation to take the Parim and Asrafim and the Sinim and Asrafim outside after Zikas Adam. So maybe with this mamish an obligation to take it out, should you take it out before the Zedikas Adam, at least it shouldn't become possible by that. On the other hand, I do more perhaps. Hachanat? L'may nafkamina if ultimately there is a chayv to take it out, or permission to take it out. The fact is you weren't supposed to take it out yet, it's before Zedikas Adam, lehagiyaz mani lotzis. The time did not come to take it out yet, and the melech should be possible. Zak de Gemara, Tashma, the Tani Levi, and again we look to the same member of Levi that we were looking for when we asked the Shaila, is there a Psalina by the Basa? And once again, Levi was telling us what kind of Parim and Asrafim and Sinim and Asrafim are burnt at the middle point, at the place that was outside of the Chaymas HaZara but still on the Harabayas. They are those, She'ira behen Psul b'Yitziyasi, where Psul occurred while taking a nap. My lab, L'chaya, this means Psul Yitziya. It probably means it became possible by taking it out, because he took it out before the Zedikas Adam. Zak de Gemara Loine, that's not what he means. He means Psul Tuma Ipsulina. If it became possible after you took it out by becoming Tana, or because you took it out too late, then it's burnt at the intermediate point. But a Psul Yitzia, because you took it out too early, it's possible that no such Psul exists. Now, although previously we wanted to bring the Raya from Levi's words that there is a Psulina, we said that Levi is not referring to a Psulina. When he says possible, he is referring to either a Psul Tum or a Psul Yitzia. Now, when we're asking if or if not there is a Psul Yitzia, we're saying Levi is not referring to a Psul Yitzia, but he's referring to either a Psul Tum or a Psulina. Rashi explains this is common. Zil Hacha Kamatchile, but Zil Hacha Kamatchile. In other words, there's no Hechrach from Levi's words what he means. That's what the Gemara is trying to say. It could be either one. Now, B'yatzim, in both Tirutzim, the Gemara has two suggestions. When we wanted to push the Shaila about Lina, we said Levi is referring to a Psul Tuma and a Psul Yitzia. We wanted to push it about Yitzia, we're saying Levi is referring to a Psul Tuma and a Psul Lina. The Yatsum of Kivega asks, why can't the Gemara answer in both places that Levi is referring to a Psul Tuma? Where Hakam might admit there is a Psul Tuma. Avoid the words Psul Lina and Psul Yitzia at all in Levi's Shita. Therefore, we won't run into this contradiction. So the Kivega explains, we're referring here to the Parim and Asrafim and Sinim and Asrafim that are Kurbanis Tzibur. And there is a Mandiyama, the Tumah Hutra the Tzibur, or Tumah Hutcha the Tzibur. So to say Levi is referring to a Psul Tumah is B'yetz and not a very solid teretz, because according to one Mandiyama, there is no Psul Tumah. The Mela is either a Psulina or a Psul Yitzia. We, however, cannot use this for Raya, because we don't know which one. Boy the Beloved. Parim and Asrafim and Sinim and Asrafim Shiyatza Rubai B'miut Eber Mahu, what is the Halach? Let us say we are in the process of taking out the behemah when we're supposed to take the behemah out. Roiv of the behemah, most of the behemah is already outside. However, there is one aver that is in the middle. Part of it is inside, part of it is outside. The greater part of this one aver is inside. The smaller part of the one aver is outside. It is the smaller part of the one aver that is outside that sort of tips the scale and makes the roiv. If not for the smaller part of this aver that is outside, we would not have roiv behemah outside. Once the animal leaves the azara, the people oisig with it become tamei, and therefore when roiv of the animal leaves, the people become tamei. So the shaila is, does this constitute a roiv? Can say that the fact is there is a miut of an aver over here, which is creating the roiv. And if you look at this one aver, roiv of it is still inside. And the Gemara explains the shaila. Let us see the Gemara inside. Do I say hach miut of the aver, this miut of the aver? Should be nimshach after roiv aver, and being that the roiv aver is inside, the entire aver should be considered inside. Memela, we don't have roiv behemah outside because we need the tziruf of the smaller part of the aver to say that the roiv behemah is outside. Memela, if we can't count the smaller part of the aver, we don't have roiv. The holy nafkalite, we don't have roiv outside. Or perhaps you can't look at the aver and say that most of the aver is inside. How do you separate the aver from the basar? You look at the whole animal. If most of the animal is outside and the smaller part of the aver is outside, of course it's counted with the outside part, and if that makes the roiv, you have roiv outside. So if you want to treat it, this is pashut. Surely leshefkina ruba de behemah, if we have a shaila of going after roiv aver or roiv of the entire behemah, we will not leave go of roiv the behemah yazlina basa ruba the aver and go after the roiv of the aver. El another is, however, a different shaila. What happens when Shayatza Chefyai, half of the animal, is outside of the Azara? However, the Roiv Aver, if you count up the Avarim, you will see that Roiv, the greater part of the limbs, are outside. But the animal as a whole, if you look at it, is half inside, half outside. Now this already is a Shaila. We are now concluding Kuvdalad Amadeus and going to the top of Kuvhayimad Alf. Hai miuta the aver, this mute of the aver that is inside, even though the animal as a whole is half and half, but if you count up the avarim, only a mute of the avarim are inside. Do I say, basa roiv aver shadina lay, if roiv avarim are outside, then the mute avarim are nimshach after the roiv, and the anafik lay, I consider the animal roiv outside, because the fact is, most of the avarim are outside. So if it's roiv outside, it's considered outside. I don't know, perhaps, but the behemah should be noy. If the avarim were separate, you had a pile of avarim over here, you can count up how many are inside, how many are outside. But as long as they're still connected to the behemah, explains Rashi, you have to look at the behemah as a whole. And even though roiv limbs may be outside, if the behemah as a whole is half inside and half outside, it's not roiv outside, it's half and half. Now Rashi pointed out that the nafkamina, if or not the behemah is inside or outside, is the negaya, do the people become tummy or not? Now Taisus points out from the Gemara Masech Tzachim, it's mashma that one is only chayiv on haitzah if he actually goes and puts it down. The same way one is only chayiv on Shabbos when he's mitzi from a Rishas Yachat to a Rishas Rabim or vice versa when he makes an akira and a hanach, he puts it down. You have to do the same guidelines apply in order for one to become tamei for yitziah. Now if you apply the guidelines of Hilchos Shabbos over here and you have most of the avarim inside, then it's not really considered a hanacha outside. Therefore, Tosis in the fact about Rashi's suggestion that the nafkamina for if not its inside or outside has been a gay atoma, and Tosis suggests, as Rashi also points out, that an additional nafkamina would be where to burn the parah manasrafim should a psul occur. Because we learned previously, if a psul occurs to the parah manasrafim inside, they're burnt inside. If a psul occurs after you take them out, then it's burnt outside. So that would be another nafkamina. Lamaisa, where you have the animal being half and half with most of the Abram inside, we aren't sure if this is considered inside or outside. Zakta Gemara Teiku, we have to wait for Eliyahu Navi to answer the Kushis and the Abais. Incidentally, as mentioned, Rashi also mentions the other Nafkamina, about if it's inside, then you burn it inside, if it's outside, you burn it outside. Some say that that's a steer with Rashi's first suggestion, because Rashi first said the Nafkamina is only the Negei Atoma, not where you burn it. Others want to say that that doesn't belong in Rashi. That second suggestion is what a Talmud wrote into the words of Rashi. If you look into Rashi over here, there's all sorts of girsas, brackets, and parentheses, as unfortunately the problem is throughout Kachet. However, the Chen de Sanil says that lav davka. Rashi suggested both nafka means, and one does not contradict the other. Zakti Yomaravaita, Rabbi Barafuna Masni Labagavi. Rabbi Barafuna had a different version of what the Balaz of Shaila is. According to him, it wasn't a Shaila of Roiv Avram being outside and the overall animal being half and half. The Shaila is about people, about the animal. What is the Shaila according to Rabbi Barafuna's version? Zakti Gemara b'misaskin by Chamisha ben Yada. There were five people working with the para or the sire. The Navkutlas and three of the five people walked out of the Azara already. Ibashil Hutre and two of the five were still inside. The animal, according to many Achrayinim, at this point, is assumed to be half and half. It's half inside and half outside. However, the Shaila is, do I say, Basaroid Misaskin, Slina? We should go by the majority of the people working with the animal, most of them are outside. Oy Basa Behemah, Slina. Or do I say, the people have nothing to do with this? It is the Behemah that is the deciding factor. We don't look at the people, but rather where the Behemah is. The Gemara Teiku, here too we have to wait for Eliyahu. What is the Allah? We're dealing here with a very original kind of a tuma. Nothing is touching it, nothing is making it tame, but it's a gzeisikas. When the par is taken out to be burnt, the people being isig with this rebegadim become tame. Now what happens if the par was taken out, and then for some reason it was brought back into the azara? The Gemara assumes now that the Balaza Shaila is, do the rebegadim become tar again, now that the animal was brought back into the azara? Me and Minam, continues the Gemara, do I say, Kivan denafki lahu, itmi lahu. Once they carry the par out, the begadim become tummy, and nothing changes it afterwards. Oidom, or perhaps, Kivan the hadr, hadr. Maybe there's a gzeres akas, that the begadim become tummy as soon as the animal leaves. However, once it comes back into the azar, the tum is removed. We don't understand how the tum got there, so however it got there, it left. Now this is how Rashi presents what our Havamina is. Of the Belazar Shaila. Taisus disagrees immediately, and Taisus explains right from the start where the Gemara will explain the Belazar at the Maskon, according to Rashi, that the Vadi of the garden, once they become Tame, remain Tame. The Azara can't remove any Tumah that's there already. The Shaila is only if the Parah was taken out, and then for some reason brought back in, and somebody else comes now, and is Isaac with it. And the second person is being Isaac with it in the Azara. Does he become Tame because this animal once left? And the Gzeres HaKas is, once the part of the Sara leave the Azara, even once, whoever is Isaac in it from this point and on, comes Tame. And this is the laws of Shai. Amar Abba B'Mamal Tashma, we learned in our Mishnah, if different people were carrying out the animal on sticks, in other words, long poles, this is the Gersa Meshita Megabatsis Kishayatsu Harashayinim, Chutz L'Chaymas Wazara, when the first people leave the Chaymas Wazara. However, the Achrayinim, the people following behind, holding the other end of the pole, Loyatsu, did not leave. So the Alachi is that Ashayinim Shiyatsu, the first that left, Chutz L'chaymas Wazara, Metam and Begad. They are Metam and they Begad. The Achrayinim, the people following behind, are still inside. Einam, Metam and Begad, and they are not Metam and they Begad, and At Shiyatsu, until they actually walk out. Now, the Yisal Kadaitach says the Gemara, if there is a Havamina, that Kivan Dinafki Lahu Itmu, if we are going to assume that once the animal leaves, the tumah is chal, and the tumah will not be removed, even if it's brought back, then hanach the ikka gavoi, those that are standing inside and didn't leave yet, nami l'tami. Rashi explains this as follows. There is a gzeres akas that once the par leaves, it is netami begadim. As long as the par is still inside, those that are carrying it, their begadim do not become tami. The pasuk says, once the animal leaves, those that are holding it become tummy. So theoretically speaking, once the animal is outside, even though there's a long pole and there are two people who are holding the back part of the pole are still inside, they should become tummy. Because the Gzeres HaKasav does not say when the people walk out, they become tummy. The Gzeres HaKasav clearly says when the par goes out, those that are carrying it become tummy. So if the par is out, and there are two people carrying it, although they're standing still inside the Azara, they should become Tame. So how can our Mishnah tell us that if there was a long pole with four people carrying it, for instance, the two that are outside are Tame, and the two that are still inside, the two that are holding, the end of the pole, they're tar. Why should they be tar? So the teretz must be that, theoretically speaking, should the people at the front end of the pole turn around and come back, then there will not be any Tame? Because the tumah is only when the par is outside. Even if it was outside, and you bring it back in, there's par, Memela, if the people standing outside, if they would turn around and come back in, they would become tahar. So surely the people standing inside that never left, they're surely tahar. But you can only say this if there is some type of gzeres akasiv that maintains, if you bring the animal back, the tumah is removed. However, if we're going to say there's a metzis, once the animal leaves, there is tumah, regardless of where anyone is standing, even if the animal is brought back into the azara, then there is no svara whatsoever to say why the people holding the back end of the pole should be tahar if the animal is outside. The male of the Gemara feels we have a rai over here, that if the animal is brought back into the azara, the gzeres akasiv says the tumah is removed. Svek the Gemara v'tisber, do you really think that it's logical to say that this is a good rai? There is a different reason why the people standing inside don't become tame. Because habi'ina the acha yovi yala machna v'leka. When the pasuk gives us the picture of what's happening, the pasuk says somebody goes out, he becomes tame. The yachar afterwards yovi yala machna, and he washes his cloth. So the structure of the tzura, the way the pasuk gives it to us, is where the person left, and then he comes back. The yachar yovi yala machna. Memela, if somebody never left the azara, he's not tame because he doesn't fit the picture of the pasuk. There is no v'yachar yovei el hamachna if he never left. And mainly you can say the fact that the people inside are still tar is a right, that once you bring the animal back there is tahara. There's a different reason why they're still tar, because the Torah says there's no tum unless they leave. But the truth is, the Gemara continues, now that we've come to this point, we have a more serious problem than just a lack of a raya. We now have a serious problem understanding what actually is the beloved Shaila. According to what we have just determined, that there has to be a v'achar yovei yala machna, and only then yichabis begadav, that the structure of the tumah is only when he left and is coming back. So it's possible that the people that carried out the par in our tummy and are now returning to the azara, they need yichabis begadav. Once the par was taken out and you want to return v'achar yovei yala machna, the only way to do so is yichabis begadav. Elamai, what is the shaila? Shaila is, let us say the par is brought out, and then the par is brought back into the azara. What happens now if a second group of people are going to go and touch the par or be isig with the par? Will their begadim become tani? That would be the only possible way to understand the shaila. But even that would not be a shaila, because one is not tame until he leaves. There has to be a v'achar yovei yala machna, approaching the machna. That is the structure of the pasuk. Once he left, yichabis begadim. But if the second group of people never left the azara, so of course they're not tami. Viva, the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar, hechi boyla, what is his shaila? The whole question of what happens to the par when it comes back doesn't seem to have a place. Because even if you're going to say the second group of people carrying out the par that was once out are also considered people that are carrying out a par and should become tami, nobody is tami until he leaves, until there's a v'yachar yovei yala machna. And for the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar's shaila is kigan de nekitila of kolsi. We have a par that left once, came back to the azara, and people are standing outside taking it out by using wrong kind of sticks. And now the Gemara shaila is as follows. I know you have to stand outside of the azara in order to fit the picture for tumas begadim. It has to be the achay yavei yala machna. But do I say, once the par leaves, anyone that is isaac in the par from this point on is automatically tame, even if the par came back? Or do I say no? There is only tumah when the par was taken out. If the par was brought back in, even though these people fit the picture because they're also the achar yovei yala machna, they're standing outside, being that the par lamaisa is inside, there perhaps should not be any tumah. Dr. Gimana Bait. Tani Rabbanan Parim, the Parakai Mashiach, the Parah, and the Paraduma, the Sari Mishtaleach, and the Sari Mishtaleach on Yom Kippur, Ham Shaleach, the person that sends it away, Hasarfan, the person that burns it, the Hamaitsia, and the person that takes it out. Mitami begadim, they are mitami zir begadim, the begadim that these people are wearing become tame. However, ironically, vihein atzman einon mitami begadim. If a garment or a baguette would touch either the sari mishtaleach or the para or the parin, they would not become tame. So we have to understand right from the beginning that we are not dealing here with the regular guidelines of tumah. Tumah of the Tahara, as we know it, starts off with a base that is extremely serious, like an avatumah or an aviyah vaisatumah, and it gets less and less step by step. The more distance from the original source, the less the madrega of tumah, until there is no tumah at all. Now here, we have the actual animal itself that is metami the person. The person is metami the begadim. However, ironically, when the begadim themselves touch the source of what is the tum over here, they don't become tummy. Now, in regard to the paradum, the Torah says so beferis, so the person that burns it becomes tummy. In regard to the parim, the parka and the shiach, the par eda, the par yomakipurim, previously in Daf Pei Gimel, we had Rashi teaching us that the people oisig with them become tummy. And in regard to the par yomakipurim, again, the pasuk says so beferis, the people oisig with them, they become tummy, they are metame their begadim. However, if the begadim themselves would touch either the para or the parim, they don't become tummy. Aval continues the Gemara. Metamen oichlin imashkin. The animals themselves do not have the power to be metame even a beged. The only thing they are metame is the oichlin them, the people that are working with them. They will, however, be metame oichlin and mashkin. The Gemara is going to explain why. Debe Remeir, this is Reb Meir's opinion. The Chachamim say, Enachanami parha I parim, metamen oichlin imashkin, the para aduma, or the parakarin mashiach and the other parim, they would be metame oichlin imashkin, should oichlin imashkin come in contact with that. However, the Saya Mishtalayach, the goat, and this is the one animal that is still alive at the point when we say it is Metame, the one that sends it, Einoi Metame, it is not Metame Eichoni Mashkin, and the reason is Shehu Chai, because it's alive, Yachai, Einoi Metame Eichoni Mashkin. Now, it is the sheet of the Chacham that the Gemara is going to find most difficult to understand. Because if we're working here with normal guidelines of Tuma, you can tell me that live animals are not Metame, but you see we're not working with any of the accepted guidelines of Tumah. We're not working here with the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara as we know it. So Mihecha tastes to say that the Soya Mishtalech is different because it's a lie. Zak the Gemara. Bishlam granted Rav Meir to the Tumah Beit Bishma. We can understand why Rav Meir says people oisik in these animals become Tumah. They are Metameh, they're Begadim. The Begadim themselves, if they touch the animals, will not become Tumah. But the animals will be Metameh, Oichmani, Mashkin directly. That can be explained on the basis of the Tanah Beit Abishmael. The Tanah Beit Abishmael, the pasuk says, "Will call zera zerua." Now the complete pasuk is as follows: "V'chiyipal minivlasa, I'll call zera zerua asha yizareya tarhu." The veil that falls upon things that are growing are tar, unless of course they are cut off, and then they get wet. That's the next pasuk: "V'chiyutan mayim al zera." After they are cut off, "V'nafal minivlasa alav." Then they come in contact with tamei. Tamei hulecha. And the Tanah Beit Abishmael Darshan is foul. Mazroim Madach Zroim. She'ein Soifan Litame Tuma Chamura. It is impossible for Zroim, for the plants, to be Metame Adam or Begadu. Zroim can only be Metame Oichmani Mashk, only food and liquids. It is in regard to this type of a Tuma that the Torah says, Trichen Hechcher, that in order for it to be Metame at all, in order for it to become Tame at all, it has to first be qualified, and that is, it has to become wet after it's cut off. Memela, the Tanah Beit Abishmael Darshan is this. That it is dafka this kind of a tuma she'ein soifin letami tuma chamura that needs hechsher. Av kol she'ein soifin letami tuma chamura, any tuma that cannot be metami adam ukelim, but can only be metami oichmani mashkin, in order for it to be tami at all, tzrichen hechsher. Yet so with the exception of nevelas oif tahar, nevelas oif tahar, there is a special xeris akasa that it's metami in adam when he swallows it. She'soifin letami tuma chamura can be metami in adam. This type of a tuma ain't tzrichen hechsher, does not need any hechsher. It becomes tamei automatically, even if it doesn't become wet. This Tanah Beit Abishmael Shita puts the Meir Shita into perspective. The Meir says, even the Sarah HaMishtaleach, which is alive, is metamei oichlin imashkin. Because we see here, as the Tanah Beit Abishmael explained to us, there are two kinds of tuma. There is a tuma she'ein soifel letamei tuma chemura, which can't be metamei adam. That tuma is bechlal not chal, unless certain conditions are met, unless we are dealing with a food that is not alive, an animal that is not alive, unless it is cut off, it isn't connected to the ground, unless it's wet. If it's ain't safe for the tummy, tumah chamura, there has to be a hechsher lekabel tumah. There has to be certain preconditions. Asha'enkin, if we're not dealing with the zirayim, or we're not dealing with oichlin, but we're dealing with something that has the power to be metami a person also, like these paramanasrasim over here, there are no preconditions. There is no hechsher lekabel tumah. And the Melech of Meir says, even the sayim shtelech, which is alive, could be metamic, oichmani mashkin. El Rabbanan, but according to the Rabbanan, who say that the par and the paraduma, this can be metamic, oichmani mashkin. But the soya mishtalech cannot, why? Because it's alive, memanashach. He is the Tanah Beit Abishmael, that there is a difference between tumais that cannot be metamic in Adam and tumais that can be metamic in Adam. Tumais that can be metamic in Adam are not based on any preconditions, so I feel that soya mishtalech nami, that too should be metamic. On the other hand, you ask, like, if you don't agree with the Tanya Berev Yishmael, and your feeling is that all the preconditions in order for something to be qualified to receive Tumah applies to all kinds of Tumahs, then a Philip Pari Parimanala. Then how do you know that if Eichmani Mashkin would touch the Paradum or any of the Parim, the Pankrain Mashiach and so on, they should become Tameh? The Torah doesn't say that. All the Torah says in regard to these animals that the people that are Isaac with them become Tameh. But Mihecha Tesa to say that Eichmani Mashkin should become Tameh? And for the Gemara that the Chachamim do work out with the Tana of the Rebbe Yishmael. It's just that the Chachamim had a different version of what the Tana of the Rebbe Yishmael says. It was learnt in Eretz Yisrael that this is how the Tana Debed Abishmal works. Enechanan, the Pasuk by Zerayim, which is the type of Tumah that is Ein Soyfer L'Tamei Tumah Chimurat, cannot be Matamei Adam Mekalim, over there the Pasuk says it has to have Hechsher Tumah. In order for it to become Tumah at all, it has to first be cut off, it has to become wet, it has to meet certain conditions. And therefore they dash in as follows. Davka types of Tumah like Zerayim. Here the Torah talks about it being touched by an Avela. Here there are certain factors, given certain conditions, that when there is contact, it becomes Tami and it's the Tami other things. Masha Enke. Types of Tumah that are Soyfer L'Tami Tumah Chimura, that can be Matama even Adam V'Kalim, not only Eichoni Mashkin, they don't need Hechsher Tumah Mimakamacher, meaning they themselves can be the primary source of Tumah. They don't have to become Tameh by something else touching it. For instance, nothing touched the Paradum that made it Tameh. Nothing touched the Pakarin Mashiach that made it Tameh. Xeris Akas, that it's Matameh, the people that are Isaac with it. This is all the Tana Debed Abishmal is saying, according to this version. The Naaf community between the lesser Madrega of Tumah and the greater Madrega of Tumah, like the Pakarin Mashiach, is that it becomes Tameh on its own. It's the primary source of Tumah. However, this does not rule out the necessity of it being the type of thing that is roi l'kabel tumah. If it's an animal that's alive, it has absolutely no shachas to tumah whatsoever. This is how Tosfos in Bava Kamma explains it. Enochanan, the Tana Debed Yishmael say that if it's a greater madrega of tumah like the pankain the sheikh, which can be the tama adam v'keilan, it does not need hechsher tumah. It doesn't need anything to touch it. It doesn't need anything to make it ready, to make it wet. However, hechsher oichel boy, that's the lashon of Tosfos in Bava Kamma. It has to at least be ready to eat. And if it's alive, it's the furthest thing from food. The name of the sheet of the Chacham is yes. The Paraduma, which is not alive at this point, the Pakai Mashiach, which is Geshachten, these are Matami Yechoni Mashkin, sorry, Mishtalech, that is alive, this is not Matami. Bari the beloved. Bari Manasafim, or Seir Manasafim, we just finished saying, are Matami the people that are Isaac in them, to the extent that their begotten become Tami, and they are also Matami, a lesser kind of a Tumah. The Amitami Oichlan Imashkin, the touch, the actual animals. Now, what does the Halacha ask of the Belazar? Shiatamu Oichlan Imashkin Bifnin Kibachutz. Now, the greater Tumah, the Tumah that Mitami, the people that are Isaac in these Karbanis, only starts when the animal leaves the Chaymas Huazara. What about the lesser kind of a Tumah? The capability that they have to be Mitami Oichlan Umashkin, the touch, then. Perhaps this should start even Bifnin. And the Gemara continues, in other words, what is the Shaila? Do I say mechusar yitzia kemechusar ma'isa dami? I lie. Why is it that the parim and the sotim are not matami the yisik behem until after they leave? Is pshat is that whatever process there is that brings these karbanas to the matzav that they are matami only starts after the yitzia, and before it is taken out, there is a chasarin here in the etzim ma'isa of the karban, it is not the kind of a karban yet that has any capability to be matami? Or do we say no? The act of taking it out, this is not mashlim, any tzula to the carbon. It doesn't become more carbon that is capable to be matami after it's out. It's just that the Gzeres HaKasid says the people don't become tummy until they leave the azara. Imkain, so I have to say that even when the animal is inside, it's not going to be matam of the people, but it will be matam of the mashkin. And for the Gemara Basa Dabaya, after the Belazar asked this Shaila Hadar Pashti, afterwards he was pashed it, and he said clearly, Mechusa Yitzia is ki Mechusa Maiser Dami. Before the carbon is taken out, there is a ma'isa missing, there is an element missing over here that brings the carbon to a massive where it's matama, and an ela inside the azara, not only is it not matama the people, it is not matama eichoni mashk. Zakh gimon avaita, bayimineid of aber bar mamul made of chiyo bar aber. The Shita Mekabesis takes out the word shmul over here and puts in bar mamul. And the aber bar mamul shayla is, nevelas oif tohar lirab meir. The nevela of an oif tohar, of a kosher bird, according to the meir. Generally speaking, in order to have tumas eichmet, we have to have at least the shear of a kadeya, because zayas is a smaller shear. But Meir, however, just finished saying that whenever you have the type of tumah, which is not only metame eichmet and mashkin, but you have the type of tumah that is so powerful that it is metame, even adam the kelim, it is not based on any of the restrictions that regular tumah has. Meir, the Gemara asks, we know that if somebody swallows a kizayis of nevelas oif tahar, he becomes tamei. That's exeris akas. So perhaps, according to the mayor, being that once a person becomes tamei from this tumma, it is beyond any restrictions, let us say that even a kizayis of nevelas oif tahar, if it touches other eichlanim mashkin, it should be metamei. According to the rabbanon who say that even the types of tumma that are metamei, adam the kalim, they too are restricted to the guidelines of tumma, there's no shiloh. Nevelas oif tahar that is not a kadeya cannot be metame. There's a gzeres akasiv that the base of bli, when a person swallows it, it's metame b'kazayis. But that's a special gzeres akasiv. As far as touching other eichlim are concerned, a kazayis is simply not enough. So once again, boim nidav abba bar mamo nidav chiyah bar abba, nevelas oif tahar that a mayor, according to the mayor, who says, once you have a tumma that is metame adam, it is beyond restrictions, mahu, what is the alacha shiyah tami b'kazayis? Should this be metame even with a kazayis? If the Nevelas Oif Tahar touches other Eichlani Mashkin, should even a Kazayis be enough? Now the Gemara explains. The Svara to say that it should be Metame even the Kazayis is that the Tum of Nevelas Oif Tahar is so powerful, it is unique in a sense, that it is Metame and Odom the Beis Abliya when he swallows it. But it's only Metame a person when he swallows it. Nevelas Oif Tahar is not Metame a person just for touching it. The middle of the Gemara explains as follows. The Mechsele Aroloi Tabayalach. If the Nevelas Oif Tahar is just laying on the ground, and nobody has any intention of eating it, so it's not the type of tumah that is metami and adam. Because again, Nevelas Oif Tahar is only metami and adam when he swallows it. So surely it's not going to be metami other eichel. On the other hand, continues the Gemara, denaket bepume, if it's mamish in his mouth, like to bayaluch, here too there's no shail. If somebody has other food in his mouth, and in addition to those other foods, he puts in a piece of Nevelas Oif Tahar, bekazayis, Vade, according to the mayor, this other food is going to become tame, because this is mamish the nevelas oif tahar that is going to be metame him, because he is about to swallow it. Kita baylach, when do we ask the shayla? Did not get lebiyade. He has picked up the nevelas oif tahar, he's about to eat it, did not put it into his mouth yet. Do we consider this a piece of nevelas oif tahar that is about to be eaten, and the nevela being that when you eat it is metame, it should metame the other oichum that it touches? Or do we say, about to be eaten means when he puts it into his mouth? But if he's holding it, who said he's going to eat it? And this is how the Gemara concludes the Shaila. Mechusa kreva, the fact that he has yet to put this into his mouth, is just holding it to his hand. Do I say that that is kemechusa maisa dami? Is that as though the etzem inyan lacks a major action over here? It is not the nevelas oif tahar that is metame unless he actually puts it to his mouth. Holding it in his hand before he puts it to his mouth does not mean that this is considered the nevelas oif tahar that is about to be eaten. Perhaps I say not. I say if he's holding it and he's about to eat it, it is already the nevelas oif tahar that we consider the type of tumah that is going to be metamehim bebeis habliya. And according to the mayor, once you have a tumah that is metame in adam, it is beyond restrictions. And therefore, should other eichlanim mashkin touch this, although it is only a kazayis, not a kabeya, they should become tami. And for the Gemara, the Shita Megadah says, and also the Gers and Rashi, take out the words basa de baya hadar pashte. They will soon see why. We turn now to Kufayim at Beis. Rav Chiya bar Abba answered the Abba bar Mamo, Mechusa kreva lav kemechusa maisadami. The fact that it was not taken into his mouth yet does not mean that it lacks an action. In other words, once he picks it up in his hand and is about to eat it, it is already considered the nevelas oif tahar that is going to be metamei bebeis habliya. And the mayor, according to the mayor, once it is a tumah that is capable to be metamei adam, it has no restrictions, and therefore it would be metamei other eichlanim mashkin bekazayis. Now this is the reason that Rashi and the Shita Megadah says take out the words basa de baya hadar pashte, because granted if you say the Rabbi bar Mamo asked a shayla to the Chiya bar Abba and the Chiya bar Abba gave him this answer that mechusa krevo lav kemechusa maisadani, so we understand how the dialogue works. The Rabbi bar Mamo continues to ask on that text. However, if we recognize the gifts of basa de baya hadar pashte, meaning after the Rabbi bar Mamo asked the shayla, he answered it for himself, and how does the Shachla say Eisavei? He asked himself a kasha. This is a kasha on the text. In any event, Eisavei, what is the kasha? How can you say that according to Rav Meir, even a kazayas of Nevela Seif Tzara would already be metami Eichoni Mashkin should it come in contact with Eichoni Mashkin? We learn, Shloishas Advarim Nemru Benevela Seif Tzara, 13 laws were stated on the Allah of Nevela Seif Tzara, the Zech man, and this is one of them. Tzricha Machshava, the Ein Tzricha Hechsher. Before Nevela Seif Tzara can be metami other Eichlin Umashkin, one must intend to eat it. Now, although such eating, of course, would not be permissible because it's nevela, but l'maisa, one has to intend to eat it in order for it to be considered an eichel to be metama other eichel. Now, it doesn't need hechsher. It doesn't have to become wet. There is no hechsher tumma. This is based on the previous klal, that once you have the type of tumma, which is mitame, adam v'kelim, it does not need any hechsher tumma, no qualifications. However, if there is a machshava to eat it, and the Nevela Seif Tzara is then considered Eichel, or Metami, Tumas Eichlin, should it touch other Eichlin, it is Metami, other Eichlin, provided the Chedeya, we have a Shia here of a Chedeya, not a Kazayas, but there has to be a Chedeya. Now, according to Rashi, what this Tana is telling us is that if you have less than a Chedeya of Nevela Seif Tzara, it is not Metami, other Eichlin, and if you want to take a Pachas Me Kazayas of Nevela Seif Tzara, and be mitzarefit to the existing Nevela Seif Tzara, so I should have in excess of a kadeya, I have to have machshava to eat the Nevela Seif Tzara, but it doesn't need hash. Now in Masechtas Nida, Rashi explains it a little bit differently. There Rashi says, Nevela Seif Tzara becomes tumah automatically. As soon as a person swallows it, regardless of what his intention was, he becomes tumah. If, however, you want the Nevela Seif Tzara to be mitama other eichlin imashkin by touching it, there has to be machshava. For some reason over there, Rashi does not go into this parasha of being mitzarefi paras mekazayis to a kadeya. But Akobanim, whatever the point may be, we see from here clearly that Nevela Seif Tzara is not metame unless there is a beya. The only time it is metame kazayis is when the person swallows it, but it's not metame other eichoni mashke. My lab, the meir, this is a meir. And you see there has to be a kadeya, not a kazayis. I say Rashi, we said before that if it's mamish laying on the ground, even the meir would be might that it has to be a kadeya. It's only if he picks it up and he's about to eat it, once it's considered the type of nevela that is apparently going to be the nevela seif tzara that is metam him bebeis abliya, only then do we say it is beyond limitations and it's metam even the kazayis. But who says that's the case over here? Maybe over here it's laying on the ground, and we said before that hakol moedim, when it's laying on the ground and no one has any intention of eating it, it's not the nevela seif tzara that's going to be metam ye adam. And surely the Meir would also say that it's not Matam unless there's a Kadeya. Therefore, Rashi explains from the Lashon of Tzricha Machshava, the Ein Tzricha Hechsher, we see that this is precisely the case that we are referring to, where he is holding it in his hand. Why? Because if the Nevela Seif Tzara is mamish laying on the ground, why does it say the Ein Tzricha Hechsher? Every Tumah needs a Hechsher L'Kabel Tumah. The only time it doesn't need is if it's in the process of becoming the type of Tumah that is Matami and Oda. But if it's laying on the ground, it's not in the process of becoming that kind of a tumah. The Nevela Seif Tzara is only metame when the person swallows it. On the other hand, if it's mamish in his mouth, and the shaila is it metame other eichlim in his mouth, how could you say we need a machshava that he's about to eat it? What greater machshava do we need than the fact that he puts it into his mouth already? Therefore, the Braisa must be referring to a case where he's holding it in his hand, and despite that, we see over here Beseish, there has to be a kadeya, and if there is only a kazayis, it would not be metame other eichlim imashkin by touching it. Therefore, the Gemara answers, Loi. Who says this is Rav Meir? Rav Meir, who says, once you have the tumah that is metami yadim, there is no restrictions, would say that this is metami even the kazayis. Why do we say over here that we need a kadeya? The Rabbanan, as we learned previously, make no distinction. They say that even the type of tumah that is metami in adam also has restrictions. There has to be a kadeya, not a kazayis. Freik the Gemara, but Zaktani Reisha, we learned in the Reisha, Tzricha Machshava, that Nevela Seif Tzara, in order for it to be Metama other Eichlim, there has to be a Machshava and intent to eat it, but the Ein Tzricha Hechsher. Now, Iman Shamet Lehi Svara, who has this Svara Bechlau, that Nevela Seif Tzara should be any different than other Tumah, that it doesn't need a Hechsher? Remeir, it's Remeir. So, amid the Reisha Remeir, Seifa Nami Remeir. So, we see over here in the Seifa, Remeir says you have to have a Kabeya. If it's only a Kazayas, it's not Metama other Eichlim. Rashi explains previously in Daf Samach Tes, the Meir said this Svara Befeish. The thing that it's Metami Adam, it doesn't need Hechsher. So Akopan, and you see that it's the Meir over here. And for the Gemara Midiyah, you're just showing me that the Reisha, the first part of the Braisa, is the Meir. But I can tell you, Hakadisei, the Reisha is the Meir, the Sefer that says you have to have a Kadeya, that's the Rabbana. But as far as the Meir is concerned, Once you have the Nevela Sotah that is Matama Ya'adam, it is beyond the restrictions, and the Mela, even a Kazayis would be Matama the Reichoni Mashkin. Now we know that if somebody shechts a Treifa animal, although the animal will not be kosher via the Shechita, because the animal is Treifa, it cannot live more than 12 months, something is accomplished with the Shechita, and that is the animal is not considered a Nevela in the sense that it's not Tameh. There is a machlokes about the Malika. In regard to the malika, which is a special process in which the kayan shechts with his fingernails the eiflets, the birds of Hegdash. Should he shecht the bird that turns out to be treifa, is the malika metayin it from its tum? Therefore, the Gemara asks as follows. You're trying to tell me that just the reish is a meir, but the seifa, where it says that you have to have a kadeya, that's the rabbana. In fact, the Gemara of Amidi Tani Seifa, being that we also learned over here in the seifa further on, that shchitasa umalikasa, both the shchita and the malika, it's a heres trifasa mutumasa, accomplishes with a treifa animal or bird, that at least it's not tummy. Now, man shamatli hai svara, who has this svara, who agrees with this reasoning, that even the malika of a bird is metayer it from its tumma? Rav Meir. So are you going to tell me that the reisha of the seifa, the very beginning where it says tzricha machshava, but vi ein tzricha hechsha, and the very last clause where it says that the Malik is Matayat Trifasa Mutumasa, that's the Meir. But in Nesata, the middle part, the part that says you have to have a Kadeya, that's the Rabbana? Answer the Gemara, and yes. Reisha the Sefer of Meir, Nesata, the middle part, the Rabbana, that's the Rabbana. Amalita from Nunu Rav Zeir. Loi Teisav Akarach, please do not sit down. In other words, keep standing. Please do not allow your feet to rest. Ad the Amitli HaMilsa until you answer me this Shaila, until you explain this concept to me. The Velas Oiftar Lidab Meir. The Velas Oiftar, according to Lidab Meir, Moinala Rishon Vishaini, Oi Ein Moinala Rishon Vishaini. Now let's understand as follows. We know that the Velas Oiftar is a very unique kind of a Toma. Hakomite, that the Velas Oiftar does not need any Machshava. If a person goes and swallows it, once a person swallows a Kazayus of the Velas Oiftar, he becomes Tana. We just learned. If a person has a Machshava to eat the Velas Oiftar, even though, of course, this would be asher because it's nevela, but if a person does have a machshava to eat it, it becomes an eichel, and once it becomes an eichel, it is metama other eichel by touching it. So this becomes tumas maga. Now, tumas maga we're acquainted with. It goes in cycles. There is a via vaisa tuma and ava tuma. The next step, when this touches something else, that's a reshine, and when that touches something else, that's a sheni. And as you go further and further away from the primary source of tuma, the madrega of tuma is less, until you come to Shlishi and Revi, where it's such a slight madrega of Tumah that it only affects very sensitive items like Truma and Kachem and so on. Now, the idea of Rishon V'Sheini is learned from the Torah, when the Torah discusses the Tumah of the Sheretz. The Pasuk says, Kalash HaVesaychoi, Yitma, the Keli is a Rishon, and the Yoichel is a Sheini, and so on. Now, when we come to Nevelas Haftar, we're somewhat confused. Where do we start over here in the stages of Tumah? In a way, it's a primary source of Tumah. It's something that's Matami another. On the other hand, maybe it's not a primary source of tum. It's only exercise if a person swallows the kazayas of it, he becomes tonic. If a person touches it, he doesn't become tonic. Therefore, apparently, it may be at the stage of a rishon l'tum. So if other eichlani mashkin touch this, what are these other eichlani mashkin? Do we consider the nevelas haftar an avatum, and therefore the other eichlani mashkin are only a rishon l'tum? Or do I say no? Nevelas haftar itself, in the respect of being matam other eichoni mashkin, is itself a rishon. Varaya, an adam would not become tamei by touching it, only by swallowing it. Therefore, eichoni mashkin that touched the nevelas haftar would be a sheni, not a rishon, because it's already something touching a rishon, not something touching an avatam. Let's see the Gemara Shaila inside. Nevelas haftar l'Rav Meir, according to the Meir, who says that the very nevelas haftar that is matamei other eichoni mashkin is a very powerful kind of a tumah, because it is considered the type of tumah that is metame adam, and for that reason you only need a kazayas to be metame other eichlin, not a kadeya. So according to him, perhaps the nevelas haftar should be manish considered an avatumah. Marayas metame with a kazayas, you don't need a kadeya. On the other hand, Sayyaf Kosayas, if an adam touches it, he's not tummy, so maybe it's only a rishai. So what do I do here? Moinin by rishai vishaini? Do I consider the nevelas haftar an avatoma, because I see it's metama v'kazayis, and I start counting rishon and sheni from here, what touches this is a rishon, and what touches that is a sheni? Oh, you ain't minded by rishon and sheni. Or do I say that Sayyaf Kosayf, the nevelas haftar, is not metama and adam binagia? If he touches it, he doesn't become tame. Memela, the nevelas haftar itself, as far as touching other eichoni mashkin is concerned, is only a rishon. And the first Eichel Nimaskim that touch it is a Sheini. And what touches that is a Shlishi. Once more, Moinen by Rishon the Sheini, who I consider the Nevelah Seiftar itself an Avatam, and therefore I start counting Rishon the Sheini from it, I ain't Moinen by Rishon the Sheini. Or do I consider the Nevelah Seiftar itself a Rishon, and the Mela I start counting Sheini the Shlishi, not Rishon the Sheini? Amalei, so he told him, Kalecha de Matami Adam Bimaga, Moinen by Rishon the Sheini. Although, when a person swallows it, he becomes tame. And although because of that, the mayor says it is metama other oichoni mashkin benegia bekezais. It doesn't have to have a kadeya. Despite that, the fact still remains. If a human being comes and touches a piece of nevelas oiftar without eating it, he does not become tame. Therefore, you cannot consider nevelas oiftar an avatam. Being that it's not Matami Adam Benegia, it's a Rishon L'Tumah, and you don't start counting Rishon V'Sheni from this, rather you start counting Sheni V'Shlishi. Now this explanation of Rishon V'Sheni does not appear over here in Rashi, however this is how the Chaknasan and the Keren Oyer explain it. Now along the same lines, the Gemara asks another Shail. We will first pick it up on pen and see it inside the Ezra Hashem. If I have a Chassi Zayas of Nevela on one side, and a Chassi Zayas of Nevela on the other side, and they are connected by moisture, there is liquid in between the two, and the liquid is touching both. So in a way, the liquid does create a chibur, and I say over here I have a shear of tumah. In a way, it doesn't. How is that? Let us see the Gemara inside. Others say that he asked the shayla made of oven bakahan. Hadidnan chibur oichlin. If you have two half zaysim that are connected al yaday mashkin, chibur l'tumakala, it is considered a chibur for tumakala. I do consider this a shear of a kazayas together. I consider it one unit in order to be metame oichlani mashkin. However, the ain chibur l'tumah chamur, as far as being metame and adam is concerned, I don't consider this a chibur. I have two half zaysim. I don't have the shear. Later on, the Gemara is going to tell us why. Why it's tummy for oichlani mashkin and not tummy for adam and kale. Now, the shail is as follows. Mayna by rishon v'sheini? I ain't mayna by rishon v'sheini. And again, you're telling me that Beatsim we have a shear of tumah, and this type of a tumah is metameh and adam. But over here it's not going to be metameh the adam because of the technicality. The technicality is that it's split into two. But what do I consider this? Do I consider it an av hatumah? And memela, what touches it is a rishain, what touches that is a sheini, moinen by rishain v'sheini? Or do I say that being that it's not metameh and adam, being that due to the situation that it's split in half and it's only connected by moisture, it's only metameh oichoni mashkin, therefore it itself is a rishain? And what touches this is a sheini, and what touches that is a shlishi. Amalei, so we tell it, kal echad metamei adam, moinu by rishon v'sheini, if it is the metzias metamei adam, only then do I say it's an avatum, and what touches that is rishon, and the third thing is a sheini. V'chal echad ein metamei adam, even though in concept it's a type of tumah that would be metamei adam, but if the fact is it's not going to be metamei adam because it's split over here, then ain moinen by rishon v'sheini, it is not considered an avatumah. Rather, I start counting sheini v'shlishi because it itself is considered nothing more than a rishon.